Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spech.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
Fantastic. It's
a great, great day.
I saw, do you know the live feed from the Visitor Center at Algonquin Park?
Yep.
What was it? It was Monday? Anyways, one day this week it snowed. So they showed all the fresh snow from the Algonquin Park.
North of us, the last week or so, there's been little bits of snow at different places.
Little bits here and there.
Yeah. It's on its way.
Yep.
It's November already.
This is true.
It is November. And winter is on its way. Not too close, though, because I haven't changed my snow tires yet.
Oh, I still got to do that.
Yeah, I got to do that still, too.
I forgot that November was coming after October.
Only this year. Nerd. No, I've been cleaning out my garage, rearranging stuff in my garage, because I have to make room for, because somebody went and bought a new canoe.
Tracy.
I just like to talk about best laid plans.
Ah, yes, yes.
So we, I have a ton of crap in my garage. When you talk about crap in a garage, I will send you a picture of my garage. Yeah, there's way too much stuff in my garage, and about 80% of it gets used, but it's just not organized in an efficient manner.
Oh, okay.
The space used in there is not used in an efficient manner.
Mm-hmm.
I have a giant tool bench.
Yeah.
And you know what it's used as? Shelving. So what I have done is, in my mind, I looked in my garage and I said, if I were to get rid of this, get rid of that, take the tool bench or the workbench out of there and put in some shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can organize stuff vertically as opposed to horizontally.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it gives me some extra room at the end. And then if I take the two sawhorses that I have and put two canoes on there, or the new canoe and the kayak, and then I get two more sawhorses and put them behind that, then I can put stuff underneath.
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect. In my mind.
Did you see the canoe racks I sent you?
I saw the canoe racks you sent.
So I Googled, and there's a lot of stuff on like Pinterest. They sell plans and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just grabbed a screenshot of it, but it's a freestanding. I need a freestanding one because I don't want to. My neighbors, they complain. She's not that nice. Anyways, so I don't want to pull up something that's dug into the ground because I will put it right up against the fence.
Right.
So it needs to be a freestanding rack. So this is a nice rack. It'll hold three watercraft or more if you want to make it taller.
And so, see, I'm limited height-wise because I have a whole bunch of shelving that hangs from the ceiling, right? Which I have to clean everything off of and make that better as well. Mm-hmm. That's my next project. But that holds three canoes, the one you sent me, but I don't think that would fit. I think the most I could do would be
too
two.
Tall.
Yeah. So when I do put two of them on the sawhorses, at least I can pile a whole bunch of stuff underneath. Like my wood stove can go under there. The spare tires can go under there. And, you know, because that way that space gets used.
Yep.
Right? Sort of thing. So, but the way I have it now, my Osprey and my Swift Prospector will sit on one set of sawhorses.
Mm-hmm.
My new Novacraft Prospector will sit on, but my kayak or any of my other canoes won't sit next to that properly.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like I'm either going to have to hang the kayak from the ceiling or mount it on the wall. And I think I'm probably going to go with the wall mount route.
Can't leave it outside?
I never leave any of my boats outside. No.
Mine are going to be outside. I'm going to build a shelter roof over top of it to keep the UV and rain and sleet and hail off them. But yeah, they're going to be outside in the backyard.
See, I've thought about doing that. Maybe putting something at the side so I could put two canoes and then next to it put two, or end to end sort of deal.
Yeah.
So you have, I mean, it'll take up the whole, see, our garage is two car garage lengthwise.
Yeah, two cars deep.
So if I put against the garage wall, side wall, I put a rack for two canoes. And then at the end of that, I put two canoes. Then I build a long roof to cover both those racks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe then walls or something, or doors, so that I can open the doors, two doors, and I see two canoes.
Oh.
Then I walk 10 feet to the left, I open two more doors, and I see two canoes.
Yeah.
But that sounds like too much work.
It's very elaborate.
It is very elaborate. And then if we move, then I've got to take it. So I think I'm just going to stick with the sawhorses and hang a kayak from the wall.
Well, see, when I saw that, I was thinking when I found the plans for what I sent you, they're freestanding, they're movable, they're mobile, they're just two, they're racks that you can stack a bunch of canoes on them. And I'm going to put a sheltered roof over it, something basic to keep the UV light off them. And so it'll be ultra light. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, I can just move this around the yard if I need to.
Yeah. Because right now, I have two canoes on a set of sawhorses. And then I have three sets of winter tires.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All the same height.
Yeah.
So my kayak sits across all tires. Three tires. Perfect.
Have you given away your tires to the storage guy yet?
I had a set of snow tires for Tracy's old Escape. And I said, you know what? There's a young guy over at the storage unit.
And we talked about this on last week's show.
That has the same vehicle. So I'm just going to load these up and give them to him. You know, get some karma points sort of deal.
Yeah.
So I waltzed in there and said, buddy, let's go look at your vehicle. It's got different size tires.
Oh, no.
Yep. They don't fit.
That's too bad. You tried.
You know what? I tried. You know, when I was young like that, you're thinking, wouldn't it be great if somebody just gave me winter tires?
You something. I know, right?
Or a new vehicle.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I'm just going to give this kid these tires.
The rubber itself is the wrong size, or the rims won't fit?
Both, but yeah, the tires are the wrong size. They're the ones we had on Tracy's, I think, are a bit bigger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ours were a bit bigger, so. Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
It's too bad.
Yeah, unfortunately. So now I got to put them up on Facebook Marketplace or something. And get rid of them to, because that's room I need in my garage for my boats.
Everything's got to go.
Yeah. And I had a whole bunch of stuff out on my driveway, and I was waiting for somebody to stop by and think it was a garage sale. Cause it's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Four boats out on the lawn there and a whole bunch of camping stuff out there and big tool bench out there. All good.
Yeah.
But do you remember I had to fix my power drill?
Oh,
my
yes.
drill there yeah. back the in trigger, the summer because the trigger
only worked when it leaned to the left or the right or something.
And I fixed it. So I'm going through all the stuff underneath my tool bench because I have my joint planer there, different saws and everything down there, and skill saws and all that sort of stuff. And apparently there's an electric drill down there.
Another one.
Apparently, or rechargeable.
Yeah.
Like battery powered.
Where did that come from?
I can't apparently I bought it at some point. Just in case my other one gave up the ghost, apparently I bought a drill.
Did you charge the batteries?
Yeah, it's right beside you. The battery, yeah. But my Dremel tool, the battery's dead.
Oh.
So it won't charge anymore.
Sat too long.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So it's been quite the... So we got shelving units in there now. We got stuff all over those. And it's coming together. But that's my project right now, is finding space. And the only problem is, if I buy a fifth boat, I'm building outside.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no room for me to put
another boat. You could build a lean-to shelter on the side of your garage. Keep the sun off everything. Keep it.
Yeah, I don't like keeping my
boats outside. They're basically outside.
But we've had people in our scoot into our backyard.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Really.
Yep. I've got a thing of firewood there that we take winter camping.
Yeah.
And one day I came out in the morning.
Yeah.
Our side gate was open and somebody had been into our wood.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So, yeah, I don't trust anything outside.
Wow.
Yeah. I just don't. Not to my boats.
They took wood.
Yeah. Firewood.
Why would they take firewood?
They didn't have any.
That's no value. You can get some in the woods.
They don't have an axe.
Huh.
Or that's a saw.
That's strange.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway,
hmm.
That's been my weekend. That was my last weekend. We're just cleaning up all that. The amount of stuff I'm throwing out, too.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm that old guy that has 17. Oh, you got 17,000 of these screws and four of those. Well, keep the four because you never know when you might
exactly,
need those four screws.
Yeah. And when you throw them away, it's like, oh, that those screws
are that's what that was for.
Just last weekend, yeah. I could have used those.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a whole bunch of that sort of stuff. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just going to turf it.
Yeah.
So, other than that, that's... Best laid plans. Look,
yeah,
it just seems so good in my head that, yeah, and it's just not working out that way. But yeah, I don't want to build something outside because if I do, then I've got to get into making sure it's all covered and locked.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
We've been pretty lucky so far. We haven't had any issues.
I wouldn't, as far as I know, that's the only time anybody's ever been back there. So, but I don't want to bet my money on it either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's been, there's been our neighborhood apparently on one of the Facebook groups saying, watch out because people have been going through vehicles. Make sure your door is locked.
Yeah, that's one thing you always have to watch. You always have to keep cars locked.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're going to get in there and take my Tim Hortons card.
Yeah.
Points card. And then use all, get all my free coffees. I worked hard to get. I worked hard to get those coffees for free. Somebody stole them before I could use them.
Yeah.
Dang, damn it. So I'm doing some Googling this week, as one does. Did you hear about the British slalom canoeer that's been suspended?
I did. I read about him like a year ago or something.
Was it a year ago?
It was quite a while ago. I heard about it a long time ago. He's been in the news.
Well, yeah, I guess that probably would have been back in March you heard about it.
So it was right after the London Olympics. When was that? When was it?
Well, I don't know, but this has been since March.
I know, but I've heard about him before.
Yeah. Well, apparently, the breaches of the Athlete Code of Conduct and Performance Athlete Agreement amounted to gross misconduct, invoking the following clauses under 8.6 of the Athlete Disciplinary Policy. Deliberate actions or omissions to bring Paddle UK's name into serious disrepute. Indecent, offensive, or immoral behavior. Offensive use of social media.
Who found it offensive?
That's the decision of the Paddling UK governing body in the case of slalom canoeer Kurtz Adams Rosenthal's, 23, who has turned to the explicit video OnlyFans site to earn money for training, but then showed too much on a mainstream social site.
It's tough for athletes to make money to compete.
It's tough. I'm going to be a full-on 100,000% fence sitter on this one. Because I can see both sides where both
are. Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
As per the Paddling UK disciplinary notice posted Friday, October 31st, Paddle UK can confirm that in line with our athlete disciplinary policy, a canoe slalom athlete has been deselected from the world-class program and issued with a 2-year suspension, which is backdated to the time of the offense. Decision was issued by a disciplinary panel following the independent investigation led by Sport Integrity and disciplinary hearing where the athlete presented his case. The disciplinary panel found that the athlete admitted posting an explicit video on their public Instagram profile, which was subsequently removed given its explicit nature. I didn't think you could post stuff like that on Instagram.
Well, you haven't seen my Instagram.
I don't want to see your Instagram. The athlete had intentionally misinformed the press that his suspension was related to his OnlyFans social media account. Rosenthal's won the European Under-23 Championship bronze in the men's C1 class in 2024 and a World's Under-23 C1 silver in 2023. Complained publicly in May about the modest funding allocated to him and that he had to turn to the adult content allowed OnlyFans site to make money. He said he thought the sanction was extreme, but also said that while he had realized £100,000 from the video from January, May 2025, he received only $16,000 as an annual stipend from Paddling UK.
So, yeah. So they were giving him, like, minuscule amounts.
Yeah.
Which he, I remember reading at the time, he had to move back in with his parents because he couldn't afford, once he started training full-time, he had to give up his job. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't, he could no longer afford, public transport and groceries and rent and all that stuff. So he had to move back in with his parents. And so... Because of that, because they only give him a
minor amount. Yeah.
You only get so much, right? And it's the same in Canada. In the U.S., if you're a high enough athlete, you get advertising money and stuff like that. And
but see, as you're saying this and saying those things, are you sure it was him? Because this sounds like somebody. He's not the first.
No, he's not the
first. He's not the first.
But I do remember reading about this guy, yeah. And he had to move in back in with his parents or his mother.
His mom.
Just yeah. His mom.
Yeah, and like I say, there's been other people that have been taken to task over posting stuff. And
sure.
It's like, well, give me some money so I can continue doing my sport or let me do it.
Yeah.
He continues, the ban would have never happened if athletes were funded properly. And while I understand the video could be described as crazy, it was not illegal and certainly shouldn't be the reason for banning an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He continued, looking back now, I probably wouldn't post something like that, but I remember the state of mind I was in when I did film it and post it. It was the first time in my life I saw real progress in my financial situation. It was the first time I was able to fund the training myself. It was the first time I was able to get my mom something nice after her sacrificing everything in order to allow me to chase my dream. And it came from crazy videos like the one that got me banned. I saw a direct correlation of me making those types of videos and my life situation improving. So I was in this state of mind where I knew that all I have to do is continue this, is keep making videos like this. It's a crazy world we live in. I don't regret it. As the posting was in March 2025, Rosenthal's will be internationally eligible again sometime in March of 2027. Well in advance of the 2027 ICF World Slalom Championships in Spain and a shot at participating in the 2028 Olympic Games in Los Angeles.
There you go.
So, I can fully understand where he comes from on
you
this.
You know what? Money is tough. And
it is.
And for him to pay for his own training program, he found a way.
Unfortunately, from Paddle UK's point of view, you represent...
puts them in a negative light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Understandable. I understand both sides.
Yeah. His situation is common to athletes in many Olympic sports, which do not have mass public followings and which see very little revenue outside the quadrennial Olympic television money from the International Olympic Committee. It's not a rich sport. For Rosenthal's or almost anyone else, save for a few superstars who win Olympic, World Championships, and World Cup golds. And Rosenthal's isn't doing that, at least not yet and not until 2027 at the earliest.
Well, fortunately, because he's not part of the team, he can continue to fundraise because he's not besmirching Paddle UK.
True. And what's to stop him from... getting citizenship somewhere else and paddling for someone else or a different team or something.
Or going pro on OnlyFans.
Right? whatever. Yeah, it's a tough thing to choose. You know, if you're willing to do that sort of thing and make the money.
Yeah.
I mean, Paddle UK's got to be thinking, well, okay, there's less money we have to deal with.
Right?
Right? So he's funding himself for, you know, that's nice. But yeah, there's just that negative connotation mm-hmm. that in these days and times, there's so much of it out there.
There is.
I'm thinking in 10 years, this won't be an issue. This would not be an issue
no,
in 10
I think
years.
It still will be. I think it's still
I don't know. I don't know.
It's, yeah. You,
the way things are going.
So it is, funding is hard for amateur sport. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're making lots of money. And if you go pro, you can't compete at amateur level. Although, you know, they still do let hockey players and basketball players play in the Olympics, yada, yada, yada. But I do like to see that, like, for example, what is it? 2032 Australia has the Summer Olympics, and they're sinking a lot of money into athletes. They're building up all the programs. They're putting a lot mm-hmm. of money, moving a lot of alligators. And so they are spending the money to develop their young athletes. And it's something that I think countries really should, if you want your youth to grow up and work at a high level sports wise, then you gotta throw some money into
yeah.
it. You can't let them, like, if you're gonna say, hey, here's $16,000, make that last year, it's like, I'm sorry, what?
Right.
You want me to
well eat- I mean, you look at skating and stuff, right? Just because yeah. that's what we were doing. The amount of money they charge for lessons and coaches
oh, exactly.
and ice time yeah. and all that, 16 grand yeah. would be gone
instantly.
Like that.
Yeah. A couple costumes. Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to think with the travel, the equipment for the slalom and the sort of stuff, booking.
Unless your parents are independently wealthy, it's really tough to
yeah.
break into something
yeah.
like amateur sport.
Yeah.
The money's not there.
Especially things more extreme too. And as they say, like, not a ton of people watching those sports,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get the core people that are into it,
mm-hmm.
but then it's not something like, hey, yeah, we're going over to the bar on Tuesday night
yeah.
because the canoe slalom's on. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And to compete at that level, it takes a certain amount. You can't be skimping on food. You need that energy, like the protein powders, this, that, the other thing, the meals. You have to eat properly.
Yep.
And if you're not being funded properly, where are you going to find the energy to compete at that level when you can't even eat properly?
Well, I mean, it comes down to the smallest things like that, even at a competition, making sure you're getting a good rest the night before
yeah,
sort
exactly.
of deal.
Yeah.
And if you're sleeping in the back of your car.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah. How come you didn't do well today? Well, you know, I was sleeping in the car.
Yeah, I didn't get a good sleep. The gear shift was up in yeah. my left side,
yeah,
and yeah,
exactly.
it was bothering me during the race.
So it's a tough situation. I can sort of see the UK paddling their perspective because they don't want to be seen mm-hmm. in a bad light, and it's bad for advertising money and so on. Like advertisers are going to go, ooh, he's on the team. Well, we're not going to put our money there, like, you know, Ford or Chrysler or, you know, big dollar
yeah.
advertisers are going to go, no, I'm not funding the UK paddling team because of that OnlyFans guy. So then suddenly you have money running away from the team. So it's I can see where their perspective is coming from.
I would be interested in finding out how much did people really give a rat's ass until
yes.
they decide to make it an
True.
Issue.
And it probably a lot of people, I think the majority of people would never have known until
who he was.
Or that he yeah. was even, yeah, exactly, because nobody would even know.
Mm-hmm.
And so just a viral thing. It's like some people saw it, some people didn't. And, but still, it's, I don't know. It's, I can completely understand Paddle UK's perspective, but I can also understand his perspective.
Yeah.
He's like, he needs money to train. He has to live. He has to eat. He needs a place to sleep. He, you know, this is, training is not a cheap thing.
Nope.
And life happens, right? So.
And then what if he gets into the Olympics?
Yeah.
How much extra money is that?
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a tough situation. And like I said, I can see both sides, but it's a tough spot to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I wonder how much money I could make on.
You'd have to go to OnlyFeet.
OnlyFeet. So what? Check these feet out.
The uglier the feet, the more you can make.
See? There you go. Only hands. Oh, well, hopefully they get this settled out and he can get back in there at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, as you say, if he's banned, make a ton of cash now,
make
buddy.
Make the money now.
Because then in 2027, when that ban ends,
yeah.
you don't need their money. Just go paddling.
Yeah. And, you know, if he's competing at that level, he's probably very fit. So,
yeah.
obviously, there's that attraction there. Yeah.
You can tell that we have not actually seen the OnlyFans video.
No, I haven't seen it. No.
No. No. No, I don't want to see it. I'm good with that. It's probably in your porn list.
Nope.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's it's like I say, at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
Werner paddles.
Oh.
This came out. Dun, yep. dun, dun. Werner Stealth and Covert kayak paddle sold in Canada have been recalled over a drowning risk.
Now, this is Canada. Oh, they say later, so Canada, yep. U.S. Yep. Yeah.
That one took me by a bit of a what?
Well, yeah, I know. So how's a paddle a drowning risk?
Okay, so something happened with your canoe or your paddleboard or your kayak.
Yeah.
Big hole develops. Yeah. You go down. Okay, I can see that's probably a drowning risk. Certain Werner kayak paddles sold in Canada have been recalled as they can break during use, which poses a drowning risk.
I guess if you're doing a brace, you snap the paddle, or if you're in white water, you snap the paddle. I don't know why you'd be using a carbon paddle in white water, but I guess if you're competing at a very high level, but still, it's like, wait.
I don't know. Immediately stop using the recalled products and contact Werner Paddles for a full refund, Health Canada advises in a recall notice published on October 30th. Company hasn't received any reports of incidents or injuries in Canada as of October 20th. However, 80 reports of paddles breaking during use have been filed in the U.S., but no reports of injuries.
So they're breaking, and I think legally this puts them in a safe spot because they're saying this is a recall now. It's an official recall.
Yeah.
So it kind of covers their bases.
Yeah. The recalled paddles made from black carbon fiber were sold in the U.S. and Canada between February 2024 and September 2025. Both the Stealth and Covert kayak paddle models are impacted. If you go to the website, WernerPaddles.com, there's more information there. They have a message there about the recall saying important safety message, immediate action required. Dear valued Werner customer, for over 60 years, Werner Paddles have been dedicated to building the highest performing, longest lasting paddles on the market. We rigorously test all our products before they are sold and hold every Werner paddle in the highest standards. We have recently found a quality issue with our Stealth and Covert models. Werner Paddle has determined that the recalled kayak paddles can break during use, posing a drowning hazard. We are prepared to provide you with a credit on our website via a gift card for a new paddle or a refund in the form of a check. Such paddles that you have in your possession will need to be destroyed, and we will require photo evidence of each paddle being destroyed. I'm going to smack it over Derek's head. Please find a link here where you can register to receive a gift card or refund and upload photos of the destroyed paddles. You may use a gift card to purchase other paddles, or if you choose, you can wait until we fix the issue with the Stealth and Covert paddles, at which time we will replace the paddles with an updated model. Please do not hesitate to contact us by email, stealthcovert@wernerpaddles.com, with any questions you may have. We are sorry for the inconvenience this may cause you or your customers. Thank you for your partnership. Sincerely, Werner Paddles. That's, again, on their website, wernerpaddles.com. So if you have one of those Stealth or Covert or kayak paddles,
they're nice-looking paddles.
You may not want to use it.
Mm-hmm. They're nice-looking paddles.
Yeah, I think it's you got to be thinking, if you're kayaking and you're using it to brace or something like that, and then it just
snaps
and
it may
flip over, smack your head or something,
or you're stranded in the middle of a lake somewhere, or who knows what, right?
Yeah But yeah, I just thought that a paddle can cause a drowning risk.
Yeah.
I had to read the whole sometimes the the headline just sort of catches your eye. So, but yeah, this just puts them out there at least saying, you know what, we found problems with these paddles. Don't use them. Send them back for, or destroy them or whatever for a money
and
or
replacement. To get your money, you have to show that you destroyed the paddle.
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to start giving away money. Show me that you wrecked your paddle, and I will send you some.
Because everybody's going to go, oh, I get my money back for and got a free paddle out of the deal. Yeah. Because, you know, there's people like that out there. So, yeah, Warner, stealth, covert, kayak paddles, don't use them. You might drown. So, as the Northern Hemisphere migrates into winter,
okay.
The Southern Hemisphere migrates out of winter.
Exactly.
Into
it's
the summer
spring
season.
In Australia.
It is spring in the Southern Hemisphere going into summer. And there is no reason we shouldn't talk about
the start of their paddling
season. The start of their paddling season down under. Water Safety New Zealand, WSNZ, is asking people to play their part to prevent more tragedies following 54 drownings this year.
Apparently they don't have to swim there.
You know, like, that's a lot.
It is a lot. That's a big number.
That's a lot.
I'm making fun, but it's a big number.
WSNZ Acting Chief Executive Gavin Walker said, well, that was six fewer than this time last year.
It's still too many.
54 was still too many. So, like, they had 60 last year? Good Lord. Heading into summer months, when people spend more time in and around the water, he said it was important to make good decisions. We remind Kiwis to do some pretty simple things. And this message doesn't just go to the Kiwis. This goes to everybody. If you're out in your boat, wear a life jacket. And the same if you're fishing from land. Don't assume that you're not going to end up in the water. Put on a life jacket or buy yourself some time for rescue and recovery if something goes wrong. On average, 43% of drownings occur during the summer season. November is Water Safety Month this year. The theme was, we all play a part. If we all play our part, we are confident we can have an amazing summer on the water and avoid the tragedy of drowning, Walker says. 2024, 74 people drowned.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Right? Of the victims, 88% were adults. 20% of drownings occurred in known high-risk locations. 90% of craft-related drownings last year, the person was not wearing a life jacket.
90%.
90%.
So
not wearing life jackets.
Hmm.
Walker reminded people to follow the five ways to survive if they're heading out on the water. Know how to float. Know when something goes wrong. Floating is one of the key things that buys you time. Be careful about places you go into the water if the conditions aren't right. If in doubt, stay out of the water. Don't go into the water alone and take care of those around you. Something goes wrong, call for help. Call 111 and let people around you know what's going on so they have a chance to help you.
Hmm. Yeah, it's tragic that it's tragic when people drown, but like it's so easy to defend against it if you pre-prepare. The key thing is wear a life jacket.
Yeah.
Wear a PFD. I almost said PDF. Anyways, so
all the time.
So if you prepare yourself and you think ahead and think, you know what, the water's a little chilly today, or you know what, I'm not just standing on the edge of the water, I'm going out for a paddle. It's like, I don't know, for me, I'm always wearing a life jacket.
Yeah.
I just always
wear. It's weird not wearing one.
Yeah.
I was out with our buddy John there a few weekends ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out, we stopped on an island, jumped back into the boat, and I was, you know, getting Athena settled and stuff like that. We're about 20 feet off shore, and picked up my paddle, started paddling out. Something felt weird. I looked down, oh, my life jacket was on, but it wasn't done up.
Mm. Yeah.
It just like, all of a sudden, something's feeling weird.
Yeah.
Because you get used to it.
Just like seatbelts.
Yeah.
Like, I remember having a conversation with my parents. It's like, for me, when I get in the car, I don't even think about it. I just
automatically
it's reflexive.
Yeah.
And for my parents, I remember when the laws start came out when I was the first kid. My parents never remembered to put on seatbelts, mm-hmm. and it was just not a thing, right? Unless you just get a couple tickets, it's like okay, but well,
it's a thing.
Starting to become a thing. But yeah, it's. I think life jackets. It's one of those things. It's so easy to help yourself. Like I always wear it. I'm going to say especially, but I always wear a life jacket. But in my mind, I'm like, you know what? If I overturn and I've got the kids in the canoe with me, I'm already saved. I'm wearing my life jacket. So I can focus on them instead of focusing on myself.
Right.
So I can put all the focus on them to, hey, oh, are you guys okay? Whatever. Nobody got whacked when the canoe tipped over, yada, yada, yada. So it's one of those things. It's like there's a – I remember this commercial – maybe in the 90s where it shows the dad and the two kids in the rowboat, and then it shows the kids sitting there alone in the rowboat.
They brought those commercials back.
They did come back, yeah, but originally yeah. It was from the 90s yeah. or 80s. But yeah, so it's like the two kids looking around going, oh, and there's dad floating in the water.
Right.
So it's, I don't know. It's like if you take care of yourself, then it gives you the opportunity to start taking care of your kids
mm-hmm.
or others around you.
Well, and that's what they say, right? If something goes wrong, you can call for help and let the people around you know what's going
yeah.
on. And,
yeah.
you know, yeah, you need the yeah. 90%.
I know. It's a lot, eh? It's a big number. 90% no
not life wearing life jackets.
And it's like, it's just a huge thing. Like, if you were to go over in some rapids or flip on a lake because you're messing around and the gunnel comes waxing your head and knocks you out, it's like... You know, it's a life jacket going to prevent it. Like, right. You still might get hit on the head with a gunnel, but at least you're going to be floating.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And floating's the big thing. That yep. buys you time, right?
Yes.
Learn to float.
Yep.
Face up.
Yes.
They didn't actually. They did not stipulate
they did
that.
Not stipulate face up or face down.
Well, technically, it's floating. Yes, float face up.
Let's be specific here.
Shouldn't have to say that. But in these days and times,
yeah.
I am not risking it. Well, they told me to float.
And modern life jackets are very comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the one I have right now, it's like it's super comfortable to wear.
I got to change mine maybe next year, the year after.
Mine's starting to get the UV starting to affect it. It's starting to get a little faded, mm-hmm. and it's still robust. I have no rips or tears or anything,
yeah.
but it's starting to fade from all the sun. So I'm starting to consider a new one, and I just haven't really nailed down the brand or the style.
Well, see, yet. That's the thing is, I have mine. I'm totally blanking on the name now too, but I like it.
Yeah.
It fits well. It wears well. It floats me well.
It's comfortable. I've jumped in.
Yeah.
I've jumped in the lake so many times with this life jacket.
Who makes the yellow ones? Yellow and black. Why?
Yellow ones?
Yeah. I am totally blanking on the name and it's bothering me now. Coquitat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coquitat. Just totally blanking on the name.
There's some of the newer ones, they have these attached points for like for the rescue bags and whatever,
yep.
tethers and front pocket, and there's a lot of nice features on some of the newer life
mine
jackets.
Mine has a knife on the upper corner.
Mine does too.
So
I put a dive knife
fishing,
on mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut fishing line from trees as I'm mm-hmm. going down the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so easy to find a decent, comfortable life jacket that yeah. doesn't that's, bother you. When
that's
you're
the only reason I've postponed getting one a bit early.
It's so comfortable.
Because I don't want to,
yeah.
you know, buy
not,
a new one
that's
not
that expensive. They're like $200, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think next summer or the summer after, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably next summer. It's about time, I think.
Yep. Gear up. I have so many things attached to it.
Right.
Like I've got whistle and knives and this, that, the other thing.
Phone cases and
I don't even phone case touch mine.
No, I put mine in my pocket.
Yeah.
Anyway, be safe out on the yes. water, especially you folks that are now heading into summer down in the southern hemisphere. Be safe.
Mm-hmm.
No goofiness. Don't make me come down there.
Don't make me talk to you.
Don't make me come down there, misters, because I will. This one's pretty close to home. Students cheered when Emily Choi broke the news about her first, their first lab assignment. It's not typical reaction from students, but then paddling in paradise isn't the usual assignment. I'm sorry, but I still can't believe that these sort of things happen in college and universities these days.
Oh, yeah.
Over the course of 2 weeks of September, all 165 undergraduate students in Choi's fundamental and applied ecology course went on a guided two-hour canoe trip in Coots Paradise. Added bonus, the biology department covered the cost of the trips in McMaster University's backyard. Now, McMaster's just down in Hamilton here, the other side of Toronto yep. from us. There was some initial trepidation mixed with the excitement. About half the students had never been in a canoe. And at the end of the class, a student stayed behind and sought Choi out for some extra reassurance. "Can I really do this?" the students asked. "Of course you can," said Choi. "There's nothing to worry about." And true to her word, every student and all their phones made it back to shore.
Yeah. Nobody dropped their phone
in the water. The students explored the Coots Paradise ecosystem and saw a whole lot of wildlife, from egrets, ospreys, great blue herons, turtles, and frogs. Located in the western tip of Lake Ontario in Burlington Bay, Coots Paradise is a 600-hectare nature sanctuary managed by the Royal Botanical Gardens. Sanctuary includes a 320-hectare open water marsh, 16 creeks, and 25 kilometers of shoreline. Teaching assistant Flynn O'Dacre, who's spent many family trips in canoes, paddled out with the group of students. She says it was more than just a lesson in ecology. For many, the field trip was a confidence builder. Students who had never canoed before were feeling a little uncomfortable at the start, but they quickly figured it out, and now they're better prepared to face whatever challenges might come their way in their other courses. Who gets to go canoeing?
I know,
in university as part of their class.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right? Like, we never got to do anything like that. Field trip happened for the students thanks to the conversation with Wayne Terry Berry, a coordinator of Outdoor Recreation and Natural Lands with Nature at McMaster, who serves as the President's Advisory Committee on Natural Lands. When Choi, who had inherited the course, mentioned wanting to add more experiential learning opportunities, Terry Berry offered up the Nature at McMaster team and their fleet of canoes. They got a fleet of canoes.
A fleet.
Students had a blast paddling and exploring Coots Paradise, Choi says. I've received so much great feedback from the students on how much they appreciated being outside and doing hands-on learning. I really hope the importance of experiential learning and the use of the wonderful outdoor spaces we have at McMaster spread to other classes across campus. Calculus. We're going to go out and do calculus in the marsh today. Physics. How fast does that frog go?
So you're pushing the example, but it is what's interesting is, and I think what is interesting about this event is that, you know, people may not realize what their limits are, what mm-hmm. opportunities are out there, what they can maybe potentially consider doing as a career or in their life. And so this is just one of those doors that slightly got cracked open. They're going, huh,
mm-hmm.
right? And so an opportunity like that comes along and it just cracks open another one of those opportunity doors that you never thought about.
Well, you know what? Like, a lot of them, they go out there, oh, we're going to go do a bird count. So they go to the shoreline and they sit there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You're not immersed.
That sort of stuff. Yeah. You're sitting on the shore mm-hmm. in a spot. Maybe you move down the shoreline a little bit. But getting into a boat is something totally different. Because you can get out into the marshes and you're not stuck in one spot. We used to say that about fishing. Like, okay, I like to fish from the shore every so often, but nothing beats getting out in a boat because you can get to more spots and different fish and, you know where the fish are, because there's nothing like sitting on the shore and seeing that little raft of lily pads over there that your lure just can't cast out far enough. So to be in the canoe to do that. So getting out in the boat and being able to go around the marsh and see all these different animals and again, it's fundamental and applied ecology course.
Yeah, it makes sense. It really
makes sense. She's, like I say, she's received so much great feedback and from the students and that, and hopefully it'll go to other courses. So Choi had similar, although slightly more extreme outdoor learning experiences herself while earning an undergraduate degree in biology and outdoor and experiential education at Queen's University. And so that's sort of where she gets the ideas from. Choi's class has already returned to Coots Paradise, although they stayed on dry land while conducting bird counts. Coots Paradise is officially designated as a nationally important bird area.
Major migratory patterns there.
So it's, if you know where the Burlington Skyway is,
yes,
it's just west of that.
Yeah. So it's a large bay. Mm-hmm. If you've ever passed over the Skyway and looked down at the
factories,
the factories and stuff, if you were to look further to the west,
yeah,
then there's a second bridge, and inside that second bridge, causeway, then that's where all this ecological area is,
yeah,
with all the marshes and the hiking trails and the biking trails and the and so on, right? So it's a very nice area.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through there a couple times, but it's really, you don't really think, when you're in Hamilton, you don't think of outdoors
no.
recreation. Because it is kind of...
Steel town.
It's steel town, yeah. Anyways, it's there, and there's a lot of stuff to see there. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's a significant migratory route. Most of southern Ontario is known as a migratory route from pretty much all the way east to west on the lakes. And so it's a nice area to be in.
Yeah. Students have also checked out the plants and amphibians in the 5 vernal ponds that Nature at McMaster built along the edge of the West Campus. And earlier this fall, students joined Nature at McMaster in the McMaster Forest for a community bioblitz. They're identifying as many plants, animals, and fungi as possible. For their final project, Choi plans to have the students create mock grants to support on-campus wildlife conservation and environmental restoration projects. Top projects will be forwarded to Nature at McMaster and considered for actual funding proposals.
Cool.
Seeing their projects come to life and make a difference would be yet one more amazing learning opportunity and reason to cheer, says Choi. I'm confident they'll be up to the challenge and have so many great ideas. So, yeah, getting out there and learning about this, what they're there for. So,
yeah.
The canoe is just another tool in the toolbox.
It is. And so labs and classes can be so dry and boring and so on. And so it's an opportunity to get people out and, experience what's out there. So this is an ecology course. It really makes sense to get them out there.
Right? You would think. We got one more thing here, I think. Christmas is coming. Speaking of winter, which you were.
I was.
You were speaking of winter.
Snow was here.
Snow was coming. So there's a few things I was looking at. They popped up and saying, oh, things to buy for Christmas. And there's one thing I know you would want.
Oh, what's that?
The Packed Outdoors Pack Out Kit. It's 12-pack. The Packed, P-A-C-T, Pack Out Kit is a great stocking stuffer for the backcountry pooper in your life.
Yeah.
Tracy has the one girl I think I've said before at work. Says, Tracy, are you going on one of your
pooping in the woods trips? Yeah.
The Pack It Out Bathroom Kit includes a durable outer bag for transporting your poop safely, a large inner bag to poop in, and poop powder to deodorize and dehydrate poop. Make it easier to transport. It even has packed wipes to get you clean below and antiseptic hand wipes.
This is now for some of the stuff that I do come across and read. Like there's a lot of all these mountaineering locations. There's mm-hmm. There's a lot more rules showing up because as
more and more people.
Climate change happens, glaciers are melting, and they're seeing a lot of these mountains. It's like, oh, we've been pooping on this mountain for 50 years, and we're starting to see the results as it melts.
Mm-hmm.
So these big brown streaks are coming down the sides of the mountains because people get up there and they go into the glacier and stuff.
Everest now, you have to bring out everything.
You have to,
Yeah. PACT came on the scene with its fungi magic that could help break things down left behind in a cat hole, and then created this kit for times when packing it out is necessary, which seems to be a growing trend. You can also check out the PACT Light Bathroom Kit, which has a trowel that doubles as a container for PACT's fungi tablets and wipes. PACTOutdoors.com. PACTOutdoors.com. I don't know that I would want to be going on a 3-week trip
and pack that much stuff.
Hey, do you remember that poo we had on day two?
Yeah.
Here it is.
But I think with the way that outdoors recreation is growing and becoming more and more popular, like in the past, like, you know, you could go to some place and it's like, geez, I think I'm the first person here this whole summer, but that's changing. So when you're going to an outdoor area that you are used to going to, and it's like, oh, there's been a lot of people here before me. And now you're trying to find a spot to go in the woods that you're not digging a hole over somebody's old hole. And so it's starting to make sense with the amount
of... If they dug a hole. Exactly.
Of
toilet tissue flowers.
Yeah. And so I think this is... a lot of people have to educate themselves, because the last thing you need is them to start closing down areas. Like we talked about them closing down an area out west.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Crater Lake?
Well, I know there's a place in California even that was closed down. They put a mandatory 2 years.
I think it was Crater Lake, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Yeah, it says no more camping.
We're done for like 2 years. Like nobody's allowed back here until 2028 or 2029 because people love the area to death. And so many people were, it's just so much human waste and garbage and so on. And so we really have to start being more responsible. And so people are going to go, wow, I'm not going to carry that out with me. It's like, well, then we're going to have to close down the area and nobody can go here.
Back in the day, the old pioneer days, they used to scoop up the old cow patties that were dry and the buffalo patties.
And cook with them.
And they could use those in the fire.
Yeah, because cows and buffaloes, they're ruminants, whatever that word is.
Yeah.
So they don't really fully digest, and so it's a lot of, it's like elephants. You can, once it's dried, it's just basically dried grass. It's like a firewood. It's like,
but you think about all the granola and all the trail mix and everything you eat on a trip. When that drying powder dries it, can you then use it as fuel?
Maybe.
Just asking. I don't know enough about this technology.
Just asking a question here.
Hey, how'd you like your tea? I brewed that hot water over my poop. That little je ne sais quoi.
Do you have a jet boil stove? No, I have a Sean boil stove.
Right? Just asking. Just asking. It's not a line of research.
Going to compress and extrude these into pellets.
Will my poop burn if I dry it?
I have poop pellets for fire.
Right? When you go to the Arctic, what do you use for firewood?
Let me tell you a story.
Let me tell you. anyway, PACTOutdoors.com. Yes. Check it out for yourself. I'm going to have one of those, and I'm going to get one of them crotch pockets.
I sent you the video of the crotch pocket, the woman testing out the crotch pocket.
Yeah.
It was awesome. She said she would... She said it didn't seem to help. Yeah. She would just as soon put it in an Nalgene and let it rehydrate naturally.
Yep, yep. The second one, Curious Creatures Hungry Horse Jacket. The shacket is an important piece of any camper's outdoor apparel. Not quite a jacket, not quite a shirt. Heavy layer exists somewhere between, and you'll be shocked at how often you reach for it. If the camper in your life is in need of a shacket, there are a lot of options out there, but a few of them deliver as much quality and style as the Hungry Horse Jacket from Curious Creatures. Curious Creatures, a Bozeman, Montana-based MTB outfit, released the new piece of it, part of its fall 2025 line. They've got their hands on a sample and haven't stopped using it since it arrived in the mail. Thick, fleecy material is soft to the touch and warm, and the workwear style looks as good around town as it does at the campsite. So does my plaid jacket. It's got enough pockets to easily store what you need, is durable enough to handle the rough and tumble needs of camp life, and is warm enough to fend off chilly nights around the campfire. We are CuriousCreatures.com. Check out their shacket. Hungry Horse Jacket.
It's a nice looking jacket.
Oh, it's a nice looking jacket.
It's very expensive.
Very expensive, but it's a shacket. It's a shacket.
Yeah. I like it.
It's not a shirt. It's not a jacket.
It's somewhere in between. Somewhere in between.
It's a perfect thing to get. We are CuriousCreatures.com.
Hmm.
And the last one I've thought about many a time. Crazy Creek Aircliner. Crazy Creeks are one of the most widely used non-chair chairs in the world. They're always at campsites, soccer games, park barbecues, concerts, beaches, by rivers, and everywhere people want to sit down. I've seen a lot of this style thing, not the air one, but this style chair. People will use them in canoes. Marcus. Mark in the Park.
Oh, does he?
He used to use... I haven't seen if he uses it lately, but yeah, he always had one. The new Aircliner is the brand's first foray into the inflatable space. With just three big breaths, it inflates and you've got a comfortable sit pad, or unbuckle the supports and lay it flat for a napping pad or sitting space for two. So yeah, it's got a bottom, it's got a back, and there's the two straps along the side that connect them, so you can lean back
and give you some support. Yeah, I remember Marcus using these. Yeah.
Well, now there's an air one. So when you're not using it,
it just compresses
so small that you can throw it in your day pack or something like that.
Hmm.
And if you stop for lunch somewhere, three breaths, you blow it up, sit down, have your lunch, relax for a bit.
I seem to remember we talking about something this about 18 months ago. Something similar.
Well, crazycreek.com, you can get your Aircliner. Go check it out.
Looks cozy.
Mm-hmm. So those are the three things I came across for this week for Christmas ideas.
Oh, it gets really small, too, when it's deflated. It looks like it's about the same size as a paper towel tube.
Yeah.
When the paper towel's off.
That's what I'm saying. You just stuck it in anywhere.
Yeah.
And then, because when we went on our trip there, and we were stuck inside all the time.
Yep.
Instead of being able to sit on a bench around a fire or something like that.
Yeah.
Or sit on the...
On the ground if the ground's wet, or if you're nothing like, to lean against. Going to stand all day. And
Yeah. I don't mind sitting on the ground, but I like to lean against something.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Relax the lower back.
Yeah. But so this is perfect for that.
Yeah. This is nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cheap.
So you got something to keep you warm, something to sit on,
and
something to scoop your poop.
There you go.
Packed outdoors, pack it out kit, the Curious Creatures Hungry Horse jacket, shacket.
We now have everybody
and
well
the Crazy Creek Aircliner.
Everybody's well on their way this year for their Christmas shopping.
There you go. All right. Well, that's all I got this week.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else?
I don't have anything. I'm excited about the snow coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking forward to that. The boys are camping this weekend, and they're expecting some snow on Sunday.
Yep.
So that's exciting. It's snow is better than rain. In my book, snow
you don't have to shovel rain.
No, you don't.
No. But there's nothing like waking up in the back country
with a nice layer
and you
of snow.
Open it up and everything has a thin layer of snow on
yeah.
it.
And you're
the
like
trees,
yeah,
everything. It totally changes the look yeah. of the lake.
And then you're going, where did I put my dishes when I did dishes last night? Where's my shoes?
Right.
Where's my
That's
water
why
bottle?
I keep everything in. Oh, the vestibule's a wonderful thing.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten to the point there. Everything gets put away.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I got to vacate in the middle of the night,
yeah,
like somebody that hasn't paid rent and the cops are coming, I'm good to go.
I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. Be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and you can download or stream all our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Just Google Paddling Adventures Radio, and you'll find us. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.